That's what we're going to look at this morning.
God is love.
All right. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Listen to what Jesus says here. A new commandment I give to you. Now, usually when I hear the word commandment, it's almost like when I think of being commanded, it's almost like somebody's being mean and saying, I'm commanding you to do this now. I do not believe that's the way Jesus is speaking here. And it's going to become clear as I go through this lesson. And then I'm going to save time for a Q&A. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? Even as I have loved you. You say, I can't do that. I didn't say that you could. But he says that you can. That you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Who are the all men? We're going to look at that in a moment from Romans. If you have love for one another. I can tell you how we can fix our nation if God's children would begin to walk in agape love. It would melt a lot of things. A little boy asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus stretched out his arms and died. You say, what is agape love? Jesus, who was perfect, died for us who was imperfect. Sacrificial. There's no other love like this. And so, there are three common terms in the Greek for love. There's phileo, which is a brotherly love. It's best expressed as friendship. It's the natural love of mankind. You can be without Christ and you have this love, but you cannot be without Christ and have agape. Some people assume they are a child of God because they really love people and let people love them. If you ever witnessed to somebody who was a very nice person and they say, you know, I don't really know, I've heard all that, I just don't know if I really believe that, but as you talk with them further, they were very polite and nice. And have you ever been somewhere and you saw a very nice, likable person and then you were shocked to hear that they were an atheist? In other words, have you ever heard someone say, I tell you, I've got some unbelieving friends that are nicer and kinder and show more love than my brothers and sisters in Christ. You've heard that before? Have you experienced that? And then there's eros. That's where we get our word erotic. It's a romantic love. You know, it starts with a flirt. And next thing you know, you say, I do. I counseled a guy just this past Friday who's now going into his second divorce. And he's just really saddened. So I'm going to start meeting with him once a week. And I can tell what he needs to do is focus on spiritual growth. Because he's responding the wrong way to what's happening in his life right now. I told him, I said, you will understand as we keep meeting, but you must focus on spiritual growth and not just on what is happening with you and your wife. So, y'all remember Hee-Haw? Are y'all old enough to remember Hee-Haw? Remember that? I was looking back to see if you were looking back to see if I was looking back to see if you were looking back at me. You're as cute as you can be standing looking back at me. That's eros. And we go through that. Of course, I've been married for a long time now, but I had a girlfriend when I was a lot younger. And so that's eros. God made us that way to be attracted to the opposite sex. And then there's agape. God's sacrificial love. And that's what we're really looking at. So I've mentioned this many times in this class, and I've actually done sub-points on this before. But I did not realize that in my mind and emotions, I commingled phileo, brotherly love, with God's agape love. I didn't realize I commingled it. And when you don't know that, and then you get your feelings hurt, you don't know how can I love this person when they've been so mean? Or they've done this. You say, and the Bible tells me I'm supposed to love. If you commingle brotherly love with agape, you don't have an escape route. But when you separate it and say God's love is separate from brotherly love, why? Brotherly love is reciprocal. God's love is one way. And we've talked about this some before. So agape is God's sacrificial love. It's not natural love. It is supernatural love. The love that gives and keeps on giving. It is completely unselfish. The highest form of love. It seeks another supreme good no matter the cost. The greatest example of agape love is the willing death of Jesus on the cross. You say, no, no, no. He said to the Father, He said, can this cup pass from me? But then He immediately said, not my will, but thine be done. So therefore, He went to the cross and He died willingly. So, we sometimes call agape love Christian love because this love should be seen in God's children so that mankind will know that we are His disciples. So, with these things in mind, I want to read something that Dwight L. Moody said. He was like the Billy Graham many, many years ago. Dwight L. Moody, Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, which I hope to see next month. Dwight L. Moody said this. He said, I took up that word love, and I do not know how many weeks I spent in studying the passages in which it occurs, till at last I could not help loving people. I had been feeding on love so long that I was anxious to do everybody good I came in contact with. I got full of it. It ran out my fingers. You take up the subject of love in the Bible, and you will get so full of it that all you have to do is to open your lips, and a flood of the love of God flows out. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. When you think of John and these epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and basically they're all about God's love. They're all about agape.
He's nicknamed.
Yeah. I mean, the disciple whom God loved, he was literally controlled by the subject. And in 1 John 4, 7 through 16, listen to what it said here. Beloved, I like the way it starts. Beloved, let us love one another. Why should we do that? For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If someone doesn't love, I mean, who wants to tell somebody you're without Christ? Only God knows that. But they need to say, if I don't love, and I can't receive love, can I really say that I'm born of God? The one who does not love does not know God. Now, I'm not talking you walk around acting silly and fake and all that. Yeah, I'm just saying this is agape love that's shed abroad in our hearts. By this, the love of God was manifested, that is, to make visible in us, inside of us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live, notice, live through Him. You're going to see a lot more of that in a moment. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He is in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And notice how many times he says, in him and he in God. Satan does not want us to see this. God abides in him and he in God. What this is saying, if you're a child of God, you are in Christ and Christ is in you and you can never be separated. So that means this agape love, it is sacrificial, is in you by the Holy Spirit. You're in Mr. Love, and Mr. Love is in you. That's what this is saying. You say, I just don't believe that's true. Well, then you must be born again. I mean, that's what it's saying here. And so God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in Him. So, you think about it. Was it Bill Clinton who said, well, that depends on what the definition of it is? Bless his pea-picking heart. He needs to be turned, be born again before it's too late. God is love, meaning of is. God equals love, and love equals God. I'm not saying that love is God. I'm saying God is love. So, God equals love, and love equals God, but God is love. That means eternal God, who never have a beginning, who'll never have an end, He is love. And that's what everybody's craving. And we're trying to make each other satisfy us in this area of love, and none of us can completely satisfy another person in this love. Even though we're walking intimately with God, we cannot satisfy this craving that mankind has to simply be loved sacrificially. And that is what God has done, and the cross proves that very easily. We can see that. John 14:6, listen to what Jesus said. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He said, "No one comes to the Father but through me." How do we get to God the Father? Through God the Son, specifically through His death on the cross. What motivated Him to do that? Agape love. So, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, He is the love, and we saw what He did on the cross. So, John 1:2-3, "He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." I mean, you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all three God. Jesus was in the beginning with God because He's part of the Trinity. All things came into being through Him. He's the Creator. And apart from Him, nothing came into being. That includes all babies ever born. They came from Him. That has come into being. And so, you say, why are you stressing this? All this was done from perfect love. God is love. Always has been, always will be. It's constant. It's not reciprocal love, which brotherly love is reciprocal. And it's nice, and I enjoy it. But God's love doesn't depend on being loved back. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, knowing that most of the world would stay on the wide road that leads to destruction. And only some, a few, would believe and receive Him. He did it anyway, knowing that it would not be reciprocal all the way. The reason it blows our mind is because this is agape higher than brotherly love. So now, Romans 1:25, look at this. Talking about mankind, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature." Who are the creatures? Creatures are human beings God created. They turn away from the God who created them and began to worship one another that God originally created. And we wonder why our world system we see is rapidly falling apart. It's because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. One of the things, the truth of God is love. They do not want that to be propagated because Satan knows he cannot control a situation whereby people know that God loves me. He knows he cannot beat that one. "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator." So you can mark it down. What we see happening in this world system is a strong desire for men and women to be worshiped the way God is to be worshiped. That is what we're struggling with. And I believe we're coming into these last days, and this is what's going on. There's a great war. And so, if you think about the fact that the love of God is eternal, you can think about it this way. God is His attributes, always has been, and always will be, even in the twinkle of an eye moment of human history. All the attributes of God, He's omniscient, and there's many. He's omniscient, He's omnipresent. All those you could put in front of it. God is love, and yes, God is omniscient. God is love, and yes, God is omnipresent. God is love, and yes, He's omnipotent. I mean, in other words, He's powerful. But You can put the fact that God is love in all those things. And so, the love of God is eternal. God's love is a holy love. Holy meaning otherworldly. You say, what do you mean otherworldly? He's eternal. From eternity, He created the heavens and the earth that had a beginning and have an end. It's in what we call time. But He's in eternity and time's in front of Him and earth. So, otherworldly. That which is other, different, apart, pure, no admixture of sin and selfishness. That which rises above all that is created. Long before God created anything, love existed among the persons of the Trinity. Eternal God, agape love, before there was a heaven and an earth. That's them. So we see this in Scripture. Look at John chapter 14, verse 31. Listen to what Jesus, who's God the Son, listen to what He said. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father, look at that, commanded me. What did we first read? Jesus said to all of His disciples, I believe that includes all of us, everybody that will ever be born again, He said, a new commandment I give to you. Listen to this. He says in John 14, 31, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. I love the Father. So, if we say, well, this is just unfair. I mean, I don't like being under the command to do something that I can't do. Well, keep listening. He said, I do as exactly as the Father commanded me. Why did He do this? He said, so that the world may know that I love the Father. What's the world? Let's go back to Romans 1:25. This is the world. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the Creator rather than the Creator. That is the world we're living in. Jesus said, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded. What are we commanded as a disciple of Christ? Love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. Why? By this, all men. Who are the all men? Those that exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. If you love me supremely, men will know that you are my disciples. And if you love one another as I have loved you, this world system controlled by Satan and his demons will see God in the flesh. Why did Jesus come? It was God in the flesh so that people could see a human within whom Christ lived, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, so that we could see it in a human flesh. And so we see in John 15:9, just as the Father has loved me, what's Jesus saying? I'm part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We love each other perfectly. And He's saying this, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. To the degree that God the Father loved God the Son, and God the Son loved God the Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I love you to this same degree. We're not deity. We'll never be deity. But deity lives in us, and we live in deity. We're in God, and God is in us, so therefore this love is in us, and if it's not, we must be born again. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, abiding my love. Larry Browning. You know Larry. I think some of you know Larry. He's a good friend of mine. I preached this message at Forest Hill Baptist Church many years ago, and he said, when you read this, I was stunned. He said, I'd never thought that God loved me to the same degree that He loved Jesus. He said, I don't even know what you said after that. I was so stunned. And later I said, guess what? He said, what? God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He wants us to surrender. So He lives His life through us, and it may mean persecution and maybe even martyrdom. We don't know. John 17, 23 through 24. I in them and you in me. So what are we saying here? If God is perfect love, He's saying perfect love is in me and you, His disciples, and you and me we are in Him, Mr. Perfect Love, that they may be perfected in unity so that the world may know. There you go again. The whole purpose is so this stuff that we're seeing on TV and hearing through podcasts, which makes us so angry, He's saying, so love me as I loved you, that the world will see you and be drawn to Christ in you, and you share the gospel with them before it's too late. Because this world is not going to keep going. The Bible teaches this is not our final home. We're just pilgrims passing through. We're ambassadors. We're sojourners. We're supposed to be speaking about the heavenly things from the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God to this world that we're in that's not our home. We're ambassadors from heaven to here. God sent you. You came from the mind of God. He said, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me to the same degree. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. He's in heaven. I'm looking forward to going. So that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. In other words, before there was anything. God is love. Nobody created Him. He'll never have an end. He is love. He is the Creator. What we're having now is a world system filled, the whole earth, of the creatures worshiping one another, are trying to be worshiped, which can be traced back to the fall of Lucifer in heaven. I will ascend to be like the Most High God. Then, verses 25 and 26, O righteous Father, although the world, there we go again, the world, creatures, worshiping creatures, instead of all creatures worshiping the Creator, they would not even be here. Although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. Aren't you glad you know? Praise God. And these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known so that the love, here we go again, agape, with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Over and over again, Paul was the same way. He's saying right now, you're a child of God, so you're in Him who is love, and He's in you who is love. The Apostle Paul talked about Christ in you and you in Christ over and over and over again. Satan does not want us to ever know these things. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His agape, sacrificial, love for mankind, who's mankind? Corrupt creatures who worship creatures and they reject the Creator. That's where everything is now. The kindness of God. So what are we supposed to do? You say, I can't be that kind. I am fed up with what they're doing to this world. I want to go out and fight. Well, that reminds me of mankind. That reminds me of creatures worshiping creatures, and now they're not getting what they want, and so now they're mad at other creatures. Instead of everybody looking up and saying, praise God, thank you for loving us so much that you gave yourself, and that I'm to do the same thing, even if it means martyrdom. I'm to do the same thing. God loves His enemies. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I can't do that. Correct. Agape love in you can do that. You say, but you don't know what they did. It was so unfair. Let me ask you, was it unfair that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, though He was sinless? And what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, but He was God. And according to this, He's in you and you're in Him. And it can't change. Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. As He was setting out on a journey, a man from the United States, America, ran up to Him and knelt before Him. So He ran to Him and He knelt. And He asked Him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Boy, wouldn't that be good for us to remember? You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Paul's, I believe when Jesus looked at him, it was agape. Because see, he wasn't even surprised that what he came to him and asked him, he knew. I believe Jesus looked at him in agape love, just like he did with Peter when the cock crowed. The Bible simply says this, and Jesus looked at Peter. It wasn't surprised because he had already told him he was going to do it. He looked at him with agape, sacrificial love. And I believe when Peter saw his face, he ran and wept bitterly because he had denied someone who loved him perfectly. Jesus, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. What would that be? Brotherly? No, it was agape. And he felt it. It's in the emotions. So we can't say that agape love has no feelings, but we can say it cannot be controlled by feelings. Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What was he telling this American? That's a joke. What was he telling this rich young American? Is you're loving one thing more than me, and it's your wealth. And so listen to this. Watch this. And he said, follow me. But at these words from God, he was saddened. Why was he saddened? It's because he knew that he was not going to give up these things. He knew he wasn't. And he also knew that I can't follow him if I will not give up these things. Why was he saddened? Because I do believe that he loved Jesus, but I believe it was brotherly. Because he called him a good teacher and these type things. He knelt before him. But at these words, he was saddened. And he went away. What was he doing? He was grieving. Why? Because he first loved. Grieving is a love word. For he was one whom owned much property. So what he was doing was this. He had bowed down before him. He had called him a good teacher. And he said, how can I inherit eternal life? So he believed that he could get it from Jesus. And then Jesus told him what he had to do. Basically, you have to let go of what you really love. And he was saddened. And the reason he was saddened and he was grieving, that means he knew that he would not do it. Because he was walking away and he was sad because he knew, I should do this, but I can't do this. And he was sad because the reason he was sad because he really did love Jesus. But you know what? He loved the things in the world more than Jesus, but he did love Jesus. And the proof is this, that he walked away from the direct presence of Jesus. Romans 5:5 says this, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our heart by the Holy Spirit. What did he say to him? He said, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. They saddened him because he knew he wouldn't let it go. So you say, Chris, do you think we have to give up everything, our equity in our house and everything? No. I think we need to ask ourselves, is what I have, am I holding this and love this more than simply loving him who created me and died for me? There is a way that you don't have to let go. It can stay right here. Your hand's wide open, but it stays there. It can come in and it can go, but you're not controlled by it. That's where you want to be, not controlled by it. So, think about this. If I had a clear glass of water right here, and then I had some ink, and I only dropped one drop of blue ink in that clear glass of water, now you see the whole glass is turning blue. The ink is in the water, and the water is in the ink. God is in you. You are in God. So therefore, you're in agape love, and agape love is in you, and it's forever. Why are we not seeing this? Because we're like this young man, this rich man. I love the Lord. I'd do anything for Him. I'm not going to miss church. And I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to hand out tracts. I'm going to do everything. But we're holding on to what we really love. And we need to be free from these things. And so, God is love. So that means you are in love and love is in you. This is agape, not brotherly. So, are you in love with God? Am I in love with God? Because God is in love with us, and the cross proves it. Amen? All right, so what are some questions we might have? I think the big one is this. Why are we not experiencing what it says in God's Word? Why are we not experiencing that? I think we bow down to Him. I think we really do love Him. But I think this world system, this in our eyes and ears since we were babies, has us, and we won't let it go. And then so therefore, it's not God pulling back from us, because He's not surprised. It's us pulling back from Him, and we're saddened, but we're still walking away from Him. But we still go to church.
You're confirming something that God's been dealing with me, especially the past few days. I've given up a few things. God's been pointing out, it ain't been pretty. It don't feel good. It hurts. But I'd rather hear a message from God that scolds me, gets on me, that allows me to keep on doing something that's messing me up. So I want that. I said, Lord, I don't care how tough the lesson it is. What's keeping me from moving closer with You? Do I really truly love You as much as I need to? I don't think so. I want it, though. And I was like you also. I was kind of mixing the brotherly love with the agape love for so long in a way, because I felt like it had to have that feeling go with it, you know, or it wasn't completely 100% or whatever. But the more I read the Word and the more that the Spirit teaches me through the Word, the feelings, you cannot, like you talk today, you can't go about the feelings. Because if you read in the love chapter in Corinthians, which I'm surprised you didn't hit on none, but
I did a whole series in here.
Anyway, I wasn't here. Anyway, when you read that, you just lean back and go, I'm not all the way there. A lot of my actions over time. But that's what I need to push toward. It's in God's Word.
You're actually in it, and He's in you fully.
Exactly.
What it is,
it's utilize it.
We got to let go of something we love more. I mean, me too.
It's starting to happen, but I'm not 100% there yet. But I've let go of things I thought I never would. It's had a hold of me for decades.
Is that multiple 10 years?
Huh?
Is that multiple 10 years? A decade is 10 years.
It's multiple 10 years.
Yeah.
At our age, we got decades behind us.
So some other thoughts on this.
The very beginning, you started off saying, this new commandment I give you. Why did God feel the need to give them a new commandment then, when the essence of the entire history to that point was love? So everything up to that point was consistent with the new command that He gave. Why did He feel the need to give that commandment right then in that way?
Well, you have to think about the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. He hadn't died yet. He was going to die, but He had not died yet. And He knew that He was going to die. I mean, for Him to be saying the things that He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Basically, by this all men will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. They basically had been obeying God out of a sense of duty. They had a covenant mindset. If I obey God, He'll be good to me and bless me. If I don't obey Him, they had heard through oral tradition in the writings of Moses, they had heard what happens, like earthquakes would come and people would fall in. They had heard all those stories, you know, lightning and all kind of things. They had a fear of Jehovah God, and they were loving Him out of a sense of duty. What Jesus knew was coming was He was going to die on the cross, and that's going to be the new covenant, and therefore a new commandment, but it was coming. He still wasn't dead yet. And so He knew the Holy Spirit was going to come and live in them, because that's why He said, these things here. That's why John says this, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. See, it could not be done in the Old Testament. He could not indwell. He had to die first, and then there was the indwelling. But Jesus was still alive when he said these things, but shortly he was going to be dying on the cross. He was basically getting him ready for what was going to happen when he died and the Holy Spirit came, who is Mr. Love. So that's what I believe.
The nature of God did not change with that commandment. How we receive eternal life did. But that commandment is absolutely consistent with
everything up to that. But there's a difference too.
Yeah.
Because and the new covenant starts.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you could replace it, okay. You're loving someone else if you don't kill them. You're loving someone else if you don't commit adultery. So he put it in a new perspective that they could understand, but I think he was just re-emphasizing exactly everything that had been said up to that.
Maybe we got to look at the word new and look at it in the Greek or Aramaic, what they were speaking back then.
Yeah, I think
sometimes that throws a different light on it.
I think the whole thing to look at is two letters, N. See, prior to his death, he anointed, but he could not be inside because the Messiah had not died yet. So after his death, the Holy Spirit came, and then he could be in. And that's why we kept seeing, in you, he in you, and his high priestly prayer. He knew what was going to happen, and he was speaking from that because it was going to be soon.
So it's been curious to me, as in the New Testament, he's spelling out these new commandments. And a lot of people say, well, you know, now we have the New Testament, we don't need the Old Testament. I was saying, wrong.
I agree. We still need it.
Each other perfectly, and it simply reemphasizes in another way.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, why did God feel the need to put a new commandment? It was kind of like, do exactly what you've been doing, but understand it a little bit more.
Yeah. I think it was just the fact that he knew what was about to happen, and he knew that they were writing down what he was saying, and then he was going to be gone, in a sense, as far as his body. He'd be at the right hand of the Father, that the Holy Spirit was going to be in them, and God was seeing them in him because they were baptized spiritually into Christ. I think that's the reason. Kevin, what do you think?
He knew before the beginning of the world what was going to be written in his Bible. So nothing surprised him. And he didn't do anything just so, oh, I know they're writing it now. He already knew how it was going to end. So, I mean.
But he knew they didn't know. Yes, he knew everything. But he knew they didn't know, but he knew soon they were going
to
know.
But it's curious to understand the wording that he uses sometimes. Why he felt the need to say a new commandment.
Yeah,
so that's my own. Go ahead.
Well, I think you brought up a really good question, but at the end, it puts emphasis on something that's already there. And like you're saying, it's a change of the mindset. Even though it's there, I want to reemphasize it in a stronger phrase, in a word, which that's what you're picking up, which is good. That's a good attorney. That's a good analogy. I like it.
Yeah.
It's just more emphasis.
What's our visitor think? What you think?
I think it's more like the shift between us controlling our duty to praise God versus now he's in us. And so the love that he shows us, we reflect.
That's it. And the thing is, if somebody brags on you for it, you have to say thank you. But when it's real, it's God, it's not me. And don't follow me around because I have bad days too. But I think more and more, Paul said in Galatians 4, 6, that we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. You say, well, I can't do it. Correct. It's the Holy Spirit in us that does it as we abide in him. And the first thing should be agape. And brothers, if you don't think we're going to need to know this in the days ahead this year, you're not paying attention. We're going to need to know this subject because it's going to be hard for us not to get so mad that we just quench the Holy Spirit, things that are just right in front of us. So what do you think, Steve?
I was just thinking about God's love and one of the indications that Christ is in our heart is we don't retaliate. You know, it's not retaliatory love. someone messes you over, you know, the temptation to give into our sinful nature, but demonstration that God is in us, the fact that we don't retaliate. And I've had many people, I'll give you an example. I had an attorney that he lied in front of the judge, twisted a case around, and the judge was not very bright anyway, and I knew what he'd done. He shocked forward that I didn't come after him, not physically come after him, but I didn't verbally come after him out in the hallway after the emotion was over, you know. But that's, he actually kind of took his breath in when I was talking to him about it, because it was so obvious what he had done. And, but that's, there was a Christ in you. It's when you don't retaliate, when the world is ready to retaliate, you don't give up yourself to a Roman soldier, walk 1 mile with him, walk two. But not with others.
Some guys grew up in the South, like I grew up in Mississippi. If we weren't careful, we'd see a guy that was walking in agape love and thinking that he's passive. But if he's walking in agape love, he's actually not passive at all. He's choosing to respond in agape love, even though his flesh is very much wanting pow. But he's choosing, I'm not going to do that because Jesus lives in me. And he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He obeyed the Father, and I'm to obey him. Not so much like the Old Testament commandment, but because I love God, I want to obey him because it's obvious to me he loves me. But if this could sweep the whole world, you'd be out of a job, wouldn't you? Because sin's always going to be here, right? As long as there's some sin here, you'll have a job.
What is your job?
Yeah, so I've heard attorneys a couple times. What does everybody do?
He's a lawyer.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I'm an ordained minister. Yeah, I'm an ordained minister. I used to be here when Adrian was here on staff. As you remember, Joe Jernigan, you know, he was head of pastoral care. I used to work with Joe in pastoral care. I started a ministry called Abiding Above, and so I've traveled and preached for many years. And they asked me if I could work one day a week here for pastoral care because Joe had to retire, and Mike Crouch went to Englewood Baptist in Jackson, and Ron Jerkins retired, so I'm working one day a week here, and I teach this class, and I also do some substituting sometimes. So I got a full-time job with Abiding Above Ministries and a one-day job with here. So that's what I do, and then Lee's a lawyer, and what's the rest of you guys do? This is our visitor here, first time. Kevin?
I work on a wheelchair.
But for a long time, coffee machines, that was the big one. Wow.
Financial advisor.
What about you, young man?
Retired labor, recently retired, but now I do odd and end work for people, mostly yard type stuff.
Okay, what about...
I'm not a landscape artist or nothing.
James?
I work at the produce Kroger.
Germantown Kroger, and how many years you got now?
4 years.
So you were in Kroger. When you were in high school, you were at Kroger. He's been at Kroger, but not that one in Germantown. You've been to several of them. That's amazing. And when I go in to Kroger, I always look to see if I can see you somewhere. What kind of work are you doing?
I own a company called Renovate Memphis. We're a residential remodeler. So I do construction there.
Yeah.
I build my clients' dreams.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Can you rebuild the kitchen?
Yeah, absolutely. Not from, we don't build from the ground up, but we can take it.
All right, you need to talk to Lee before you leave. He's in the middle of this now.
It was destroyed in the ice storm.
Yep.
So I'm having nightmares right now.
I got you from start to finish.
So are you connected with the ministry here at Bellevue when a widow who doesn't have very much money, if she needs some help, that Bellevue has some money set aside for that and gives to Christian contractors to go in?
Not,
yeah. You'd what now?
I would. I'm not, but I would.
Yeah. So let's make sure we swap information because we do have that ministry here. And matter of fact, I was in a meeting not long ago about it. Jim Shoemaker's involved, the financial consultant guy. He's involved and some others. But and then Steve, you're a
personal injury attorney.
He's a personal attorney too. And then you have a ministry. What's it called again?
Youth Leadership of Memphis.
He has that ministry.
We take the little inner city boys, 6, 7, 8 years old, and teach them how to work, cut grass, and do a lead. We had to start with that number because 12 is gang material.
Yeah.
They got 9-year-olds killed people with pistols and stuff like that. we have to catch in time and raise them in another 25 years.
We bought a building over at, we're in Binghamton, our offices, so we're on Scott Street, like right around Broad, like the Arts District up in there. And you'd be surprised, like, I didn't know what I was doing when I bought that building. And we put money into it, and we've been, you know, like the building's been, not recently, but when we were doing the renovations, we were having stuff stolen and people breaking in, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been trying to figure out a way how to kind of get involved in that community, because there's really nobody over in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's been a rough neighborhood since I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, we're right up the street from, like, some of our vendors, like Harrison Wholesale and Eubanks Lumber and Montgomery Martin, all that stuff's right along the corner of us, but we didn't know how to get involved and that kind of stuff. And so, like, literally we stayed down at the precinct on Tillman because they're, like, always trying to, you know, break into our building or something.
So. Yeah. So this is a good message here to keep in the back of your mind. sometimes it's hard when you walk to your car and somebody's busted the window in and got a pencil out. All right, Father, we just thank you for this morning. And, Father, we know that this commandment to love, that we simply cannot do it. We know this. But we know that you would not command us to do anything if it were not possible. Father, we leave here knowing what we're talking about has to be done by you, in us, and through us, if it's going to be real. So, Father, we choose to surrender control of our lives to your Holy Spirit, to let go what we love most and love you more, surrender to you more, so that this agape comes out in this fallen world, creatures who strongly desire to be worshiped instead of worshiping the Creator, you, that they will see the beauty of Jesus in us and that our life will make them thirsty, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.